Psalm chapter 1, and we're going to see that this psalm is going to be highlighting two different paths, kinds of lives. We're going to see a path that is a godly path that's going to follow God's ways, God's living, God's word, and the benefits of that. We'll see it's going to bring blessings, joy in the heart of following God's path, happiness. We're going to be fruit bearers. And we're also going to have fulfillment within our lives. And also we're going to see in the second half, now it's not going to be so for the wicked. All right? Compared to the life apart from God brings worthlessness, we're going to see in the second half of the chapter. Worthlessness, a lack of stability in the lives of the wicked, the ungodly, and ultimately destruction and judgment, we're going to see, meaning eternity apart from God. Let's pray before we read God's Word. Father God, once again, we just thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for the Word of God, how it is powerful, Lord, and it reaches to our souls and to our inner beings. And Lord, I just pray as we study your Word and we read it, Lord, that we look at it, Lord, and say, what is it that we need to adjust our lives to? What is it saying? And how, Lord, do we adjust our lives to that, Lord, and give us insight and wisdom. In your name we pray. Amen. Blessed is the man, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We're going to see two paths of life here today. All right, this first life we're going to see is a path directed by God. How we should live as Christians. This is the path how we should live. Blessed is the man who lives this path. And we see that, right? Let's look at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if we're going to be a blessed man, we must refuse the counsel of the ungodly. Do we hear in today's society the counsel of the ungodly all around us? We do. Yes, we do. What are some areas that we see that? We see it on TV. You know, I'm 46, and back when I was growing up watching comedy shows on TV, man, they seemed clean, you know, but today, and how about today's society when you watch the comedy shows on TV? You can't get through the first 2 minutes without something being of ungodly nature, of a sexual orientation going on, something going on with some sexual intent. It's an ungodly, completely against God's scripture, but it's continuously throughout our TV telling us, oh, this is okay, this is acceptable. We see it on the internet. We see it in our education system, in our public schools, in our colleges, college professors, speaking against God's word. And how about music? Do we see it in our music? A couple months ago, I read the one song that says, all I want to talk about is me. I talk about you enough. That's all I want to talk about is me. That's just an example of a song. But in these songs, do we see the ungodly? Why? Yes, we do. Because it's all about themselves. They're the wicked. So the Bible saying is, blessed is the man who stays away from these things. What is that blessed? When we say blessed, what is that blessed? It's a sense of hope, sense of joy. All right, there's that joy there. Joy of staying away from these things. A hope, a sense of hope, staying away from these things. So, we have hope. We are blessed. We have joy in our hearts. If we walk not in the counsel of the wicked, says, nor stands in the path of the sinners. Oh, I wanted to talk to you about, before we, the music. How about our... Here we go again. the government. Our government, is that, do we see our government being ungodly? This is terrible days we're living in. Terrible. They're telling us as Christians, we don't have a freedom of speech or freedom of right anymore to believe what we believe. They're telling us that we have to be acceptance of their way just because they say, man say, we have to be this way. What does God's word say? God says, stay away. You know, so it's putting us in a pickle here, in a bind, where our freedom of rights and our freedom of religion is being squashed upon by our own government, not allowing us. You know, we see the transgender thing going on today, continuously being bombarded. Now it's being bombarded in our school system. Our children have to put up with that. And they're saying, accept this. Does God's word say accept that? No. This is the wicked of the council here. This is ungodly wicked. This is a wicked counsel. And God says, blessed is the man who stays away from this. All right? Then we see, nor stands in the paths of the sinners. All right? So, we must refuse to not listen to the ungodly counsel. We must not stand in the paths of the sinners. What does that mean, stand in the paths of the sinners? All right? The word path here, or way, means they have a way about them. What do they know? Do they don't have God? They're ungodly, so they only know one way. They know sin. That is their way. That is the way of the sinner. He only knows how to sin. He's not being convicted by the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is not within them. So God says, hey, you want to be a blessed man? You want happiness? You want joy in your life? Stay away from this. Do not identify with the sinner. As the sinners are out sinning, do not put yourself in that position where I am now with them and part of them. Blessed is the man who stays away from that. They have no desire to be righteous, no desire to follow God's plan. We started off here. They don't have any desire there. But yet, we are told to have to obey God and to stay away from that. All right? So, they have a pattern of life. They have no desire to follow God's word. What is the psalmist saying? Blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of the sinners. Do not be attracted to their way of life. Young people, listen. That's an attractive life sometimes, huh? Yeah, sometimes this is all a bunch of rules and, oh, man, I just, you know, do I really have to really obey God's word? Because, boy, this lifestyle can be attracting. Listen, young people, they're out to get you. They're out to why. That's all they know. And it can be attracted to you sometimes. But if you compare that to the word of God, it's not attractive. And we're going to see that it's not attractive and later on in this chapter. So, do not be attracted to their way of life. Pay attention. You want to have blessedness in your life. You want to have joy. Stay away. Do not identify with them. All right? Nor sit in the seat of the scornful, it says. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Or join in with people who mock God. How many times I have friends who mock me for being a Christian? They mock me. Well, it's my job as a Christian to go out and stand with them and say, yeah, I'm going to get on board. Or do I cower? Do I sit there and, well, you're mocking me, so I'm a little intimidated right now, and I don't know if I can stand on my own. So, yeah, that Christian, I agree. No, do not stand with a mocker. Do not be part of them. Stand up for your faith and know who you are in Jesus Christ. All right? So, let's look, nor sits in the seats of the scornful or joins with them. Let's sum this up in this verse to Psalms chapter 26. Turn over with me a couple of chapters to Psalms chapter 26. Psalms chapter 26 and verses 1 through 5. 26, 1 through 5. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. Verse 4. I have not sat with the idolatrous mortals, nor will I go with the hypocrites. Verse 5. I have hated the assembly of the evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked, David says. That's staying away from them, isn't it? Where's his heart here? His heart is saying, I'm not with these guys. I'm right here. My desire is to follow God, and I'm not going to hang with these evildoers. I'm not going to let them be an influence on my life. I want nothing to do with them. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Verses 13 and 14. Proverbs 4, 13 and 14. Take firm hold. That firm hold. Grab a hold of this, people. Take firm hold of my wisdom, my instruction here. Do not let it go. So I'm saying guard it. Take a hold of it. Guard it. Why? Keep her, for she is your life. For they are your life. And like, look at verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Verse 15. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away for it and pass on. Wow. There's clarity there. That's not saying dabble in it. And you're gonna be okay. You know, play in the sin and make that choice of, I'm going to go this direction, and I'm going to be okay. It says, no, avoid that. Stay away from the wicked. Stay away from the evil. All right? Don't do as the wicked do. Matthew 22, we don't have to turn there, but that is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. For this is the first and what commandment? Great commandment, the greatest commandment. Then it says, love your others. So we just say, well, we're not to hang with them. So you're saying don't hang with them? No. You need to have a foundation, what God says first in Matthew 22:37. If you have the foundation, if you love God with all your heart and all your soul, your own mind, you have your foundation, you know. And then you love them. Now, it doesn't say, you know, just throw them away and have nothing to do with them. Love your neighbor. But no, you have the love of Christ in your heart, then you can withstand, you know, and being around them and talking with them. But I tell you what, if you're a weak Christian, they're going to pull you down. They're going to pull you down. Make no mistake about that. They will. Know your love is, your foundation is strong. Love the Lord your God first. Have that strong in your heart, and then love them. Do not do it on your own. Do not go out there and pretend you love them and leave God behind, because it's not going to work. It will not work. You will be sucked in every time if you don't have a foundation. So we see that we see that identifying with God is with the ungodly is no place for a Christian. We can all agree with that. Identifying with God with the ungodly is no place for us. You know, stay away from it. Avoid it. Let it pass on, the Proverbs say. Let it pass on. So there is no joy there. Bible says, blessed is the man who stays away from the, doesn't walk in the sinful, with a sinful man, doesn't identify with them. Blessed is the man, and let's go back to our text. Blessed is the man who doesn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. And then blessed is the man who does not sit with the mocker, those who mock God. All right? So we find no joy there as Christians. All right? We find no joy. But where do we find our joy? Right here. Verse 2, but where is his joy? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates on it day and night. All right? There is joy. There is great joy, delight, the Bible says, and joy in knowing Jesus' word and his ways. Now let's ask ourselves a couple questions here. For us to love God with all our heart, with our soul, or our mind, we need to be willing to give up something, ourselves. If you're going to take delight in the things of God, you're going to have to give something up. Because every time I open this scripture and it says, how to way to live, wow. You know, this Bible convicts us. You know, Pastor Mitchell once said, we say, good message. He says, good book. He said, if this book offends you, get your life right. Boy. Yeah, if this is telling me how to live a life, I need to adjust my life to it, not bring it to me. So, we need to delight. That's a hard issue. We make a choice to delight in something, don't we? We make a choice. So, Are we choosing to walk with the ungodly and still call ourselves Christians? God says, no, don't do that. Blessed is the man who stays away. But guess what? Our hearts should say, man, you know what I delight in? I delight in the law of the Lord, and I meditate on it. I think about it more often. Meditate on it morning and night. So, if this book is a drag on you, you have a heart problem. If this book is this boring and not really worthless to you, you have a heart problem. You do. It comes down to that. Because we should be delighting, the Bible says, delighting in this word. It's coming from our heart because I'm giving up on myself and saying, I want to obey God's word. So therefore, my life has to change. So, if there is no delight in the law of the Lord, you have a heart problem. Let's see David's heart. Psalm 63, 1 through 6. Psalms chapter 63, 1 through 6. David was said to have a man after God, said to be a man after God's own heart. Was he perfect? No, he was not perfect. But boy, did he love the Lord, but he also made mistakes. Psalms chapter 63, 1 through 6. O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. When? When he's waking up, first thing in the morning. David's mind is already on the things of God. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh, my body longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. That's also more than the richest feast. All right? And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. In verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. So David's heart was, Lord, when I wake up, I want to be thinking of you. I want to be thinking of your ways and not my ways. I want to be praising you throughout the day, the blessings you have given me. My heart is for you. I long for you. I seek you. I'm thirsty for you. And as I lay my head down at sleep at night, I want you to be on my mind. Boy, how often do we lay our head down at night and we are worn out. Worn out. And then we sit there and we dwell on it all night long. Yeah. Well, I can't raise a hand. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Once again, do we need to adjust our lives? Yeah. We need to have a heart after God and say, I want to think about the things of God. Let that be a challenge to us. So Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19, verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. Hey, the ways of the Lord are what? Right. The ways of the Lord are right. Rejoicing the heart. You notice that? Rejoicing the heart. There's where you find your happiness and what is right, the ways of the Lord. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, or giving insight for living. This book is all about giving insight for living. The commandments of the Lord are pure. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, in verse 9. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And we're going to talk about the judgments of the Lord in just a little bit. All right? But look what it says there in verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments, as Scott talked about this morning, also in Sunday school class, I love that, how I'm preaching on this, and he's also speaking about it in Sunday school. The judgments of the Lord are going to come, and they are going to be true, and they're going to be righteous and fair and just. All right, more to be desired than they are gold. Now, all these things that we just mentioned, verse 10. More to be desired than just gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, verse 11, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. There is great reward. Is there joy in serving Jesus? There is. There's joy there. You know, we're doing it for the Lord. And we go down through these and we know that His law is perfect. We've changed our lifestyle, our old sin nature, to God's ways. And there's joy in that. There's delight in following the Word of God. All right? There's great reward there. So, let's go back to our text in verse 3. All right? When God's Word thrives in our soul, verse 3, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. We also see this in Jeremiah. Turn over in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And verse 7, Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed, there we go again. Blessed, a happy man, a happy heart, a joyous heart. Why are we going to be blessed? Is a man who trusts. Get rid of yourself and trust in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Why? There it is again. And verse 8, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will he cease from yielding fruit. Wow. Okay. So here's the benefits of being a Christian and loving God with all your heart and all your soul with all your mind. It says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Why does it give us that description of that? Let's picture that, all right? Let's do that image of a tree planted by the water. Where is the best soil? Matt, you have acreage, and it's your flatlands are right next to what? The water. We go right down here in Route 5S, right? 5S in those flatlands. There's beautiful, rich soil down there, rich soil. I don't see any rocks in it. They dig that stuff up and corn grows unless the river floods and ends up flooding it out. But the soil is rich, full of nutrients. And I say, man, I'm a little jealous because my garden doesn't grow like that. You know, I need to have that rich soil to plant my garden so I can, it's nourished. It's getting the best of the water being flowing underneath the ground, and it's getting the rich soil. So is our hearts, so is our lives with the Lord. When we walk with God, we have God as our foundation. We're drawing from what? The well of Jesus Christ. We're drawing from His Word, and we are rich. We are a blessed man. All right? So, it gives us a strong foundation. That's what it gives us, a strong foundation, which spreads out its roots by the river, and which leaves will not fear when heat comes, it says, but its leaves will not green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought. Okay, what's that talking about? All right. When we're strong, when we have a strong foundation in Jesus Christ, when we're rich, the storms are going to come through life, aren't they? Are we storm-free? No. We're not storm-free as Christians. But guess what? God says you're going to be able to withstand your storms. You're going to have hope. You're going to have joy in these storms because you know who I am. This is your foundation. And so, therefore, in those times of storms, and we will not fear when the heat comes, when the pressure comes, we need not to crumble and just revert to our old ways and say, it's over, God's left me, abandoned me. No. But its leaves will be green. You will be strong because you have a foundation. You have the Word of God. And will not be anxious in the year of drought and through those trials and tribulations. Nor will they cease from yielding its fruit. You are going to be a fruitful person in a time of a storm. Boy, it's a challenge to all of us. Do we show God? God says that we can do this with His strength. All right? So look at the benefits of following God's ways. back to your text. I want that. Every Christian should want that, all right? We see a beautiful picture of a Christian's life when we have a heart for God. A.W. Tozer said this: there are rare Christians whose very presence incite others to be better Christians. I want to be that rare Christian. I want to be the person who looks at me and says, sees Jesus Christ. All right? So there are rare Christians whose very presence incites others to be better Christians. I want to be that rare Christian, A.W. Tozer says. Now, verse 4. We know this is God's path. God tells us to live here, be a blessed man, have a life full of His riches and His blessings and His glory. Shine in times of storms. Man, we should all want that. This is the path of the ungodly. Complete contrast to what God says. Verse 4. All right? The ungodly are not so. What did we just get done talking about? All the blessings of God. The ungodly, the ways of God, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. The ungodly are not so. They're not receiving the blessing that you and I are receiving. They're not rich in God's glory, in God's ways. Why? Verse 1. We're told to walk away from the counsel of the ungodly. Well, who are they? They are the people that are giving us ungodly counsel. They are those people. So they will not be blessed, nor stands in the path of the sinners. They are the sinners who we're told to stay away from. Or they're the ones that are mocking, doing the mocking. So God says, not so for the ungodly. They're not having this life. Their only life is knowing what? They know themselves. They know sin. They're consumed by what they were born with, a natural sin nature. And that's all they're going to continue doing. So they will not be blessed, and they're not going to have the benefit of the Christian. This lifestyle that we're so told to live by, they don't share that in all of us. They don't share that. All right? So we should not be taking part in their hearts, in their minds, and walking with them. When we walk with the ungodly or listen to their counsel, we take part in their way of life. The Bible says, stay away. All right, so we can see the hand of God in our lives as Christians. I hope you see the hand of God in your life. Do they see the hand of God in their lives? No, because they're wicked. They're the sinner. All right, this is not so for the ungodly. They are the mockers, the sinners. Now, the godly find joy in obeying God's word. We find joy here. Their joy is in themselves. Their joy is in themselves and pleasing others, pleasing themselves. Turn to Psalms chapter 7. Psalms chapter 7. Psalms chapter 7, 14 through 16. Behold, the wicked bring forth iniquity, which is evil. They bring forth evil. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood, which is lies. All right? Does that sound anything like verse 3? We bring forth riches. We bring forth a strong fruit, a good fruit, because of our foundation. Does that sound like that? No, they conceive trouble. They bring forth lies. And look at verse 15. He made a pit and dug it out, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violence, a violent dealing, shall come down on his own crown. Listen to what Job says about this as well. Job 4:8 says this: even as I have seen those who plow evil and sow trouble reap the same. Sinner breeds on sinners. When you are around a sinner, you're going to breed sinners. And when you're sinning, that's the only thing you know. So, how about this? You've heard this saying? Birds of a feather flock together. Yeah, we hear that saying. Yeah. When you hang with the sinners and you partake in what they're doing, the birds of a feather flock together, you become like them. All right? How about this one? Garbage in, garbage out. We put garbage in our minds and our souls. What spews out? Garbage. We put the Lord of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, in our hearts. What spews out? Should be Jesus Christ. Should be. But the wicked, they don't have Jesus. So they're spewing out this wickedness. They're taking this garbage in. They're taking the way of the world in. And they're spewing it out. Okay. Back to our text. What are they? But they are like the chaff that the wind blows and drives away. The chaff. What is that describing here? I love the picture that the Bible gives us so we can see and we can relate to ourselves. We are the grain inside is fruitful. When you take a piece of oats, when you grow oats, and the oats is in the inside, and you thrash it, you put it through the mill, and then when you go through the thrasher, those little chaffs on the outside, they just get blown away, the Bible. We know. They get blown away. They're worthless. There's no stability in their lives. And there's no value to that. That's what the Bible is saying. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. They lack stability in their lives. Doesn't sound like anything to God. God's way of life. Verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. All right. Therefore, because there will be condemnation in the time of judgment. This is the result they have chosen, it says. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Scott talked about today, once again in Sunday school, there is going to come a judgment. There is going to come a day where this life will come to an end. And you may look at this life and say, oh, they've got it so good. But yet, we're stuck to this life. Woe is me. Bible says this life is going to come to an end. It's a wicked life. And it was, you don't need to turn there, but Scott was reading, and I loved it, Isaiah 13, verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, it says, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. It's going to be cruel. So Christian, when you dabble in that lifetime, oh my goodness, look what the Bible says. This life is going to be a cruel ending. Stay away. Both wrath is going to be upon them and fierce anger. God's like, enough. So, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand when it comes a time of judgment. They're going to live a life. But when it comes a time that they meet God face to face, all their works and all their things they have done in this life for themselves are going to be meaningless. Nor stand in the congregation of the sinners. They are not going to be among us. We were going to be in heaven. Where will they be? In hell. There will also be no place among the godly when faced with final judgment. Let's look at that. Psalms chapter 5. Just over a couple pages. Psalms chapter 5. Verse 5. The boastful shall not, what? Stand in your sight. You hate all the workers of iniquity. Verse 6. You destroy those who speak falsehood or lies. The Lord harbors, or he detests, the bloodthirsty and the deceitful man. Chapter 9 of that same, Psalms 9. Chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for what? Judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. We're going to be judged by God's ways, not by our ways. So he shall judge the world by his ways, his righteousness, and shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. He's going to be a fair, just God, the Bible says. This life will become to an end, and they can't say, but, I never knew you. I never knew you. I did a lot of things for a lot of people. You are wicked. You didn't do them for unto me. You did them for yourselves. All right. Verse 6, back to our passage in closing. For the Lord knows the ways of the wicked. And I'm sorry, I read that wrong. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, he shall perish. The Lord knows the way. This know here is an intimate relationship. He knows you. You're not left out here. The Bible says left out here. Well, now you're a Christian. You're on your own. This Bible says no. He knows us intimately. He knows the hairs on our heads. He knows you. He knows what you're going through. I know sometimes we go through trials and tribulations and say, God, where are you? He knows us. He watches out. It says, look what it says. The way of the righteous. That's you, Christian. He watches out over you. That's comforting. Comforting. Take that with you wherever you go. Know that the ways that God is watching you, and and he's watching your path, and he cares about you. And then the end of that. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. We've clearly seen that the path of the ungodly is going to end in destruction. Is that a way of life as a Christian that we desire to be? I hope not. We should have no desire to that. We should want to be 1 through 3, a person who is blessed and stays away. We should take delight in the things of the Lord. And the results of verse 3 is, look at our benefit from that. Look at the foundation God is giving us. Look how rich we are in his word and in going through life, the foundation we have. But not so, the Bible says. So remember this as we continue on in these two paths of life. Christian, we have so much to live for, so much to be thankful for. Let this word of God pierce our hearts. Young people, you're growing up and you say, well, I know a lot of, I'm good. Do we see anything in here about a third path? Did we read a third path? No, we didn't read a third path. So, God says, this is the way to happiness. This is my way. Christian, do the best you can. This doesn't make us perfect. Does not make us perfect. But it says, make every effort to abide by my laws. The way of the wicked, stay away. Look at the contrast. They're opposite of how we are to live. You say, okay. Well, God's ways are good. I admit it. They're good. But, you know what? It's okay if I just allow some sin in. I'm okay, but I'm just going to allow some sin in. So we take our own path. We go down this path. All right? We say, okay, God, I know you're good, and I'm going to go here, but I'm only going to go a little bit. What does a little bit turn into? A little bit more. Do you see this path, where this path is going to start going? Every time we allow sin to rule in our lives and not take care of it, just let it deal with it, and just say, well, this is kind of stifling. I feel trapped. I'm just going to live my own life. We start here. Then, we're still connected to God. We go here. We've allowed a little bit and a little bit more. Look where it's going. It's going a completely opposite for where God is. Not opposite. It's going away from God. Now, let me ask you this question right here. Let's put a little dot right there. This is our lives growing up. We have children. We started here. We grew up in church. We loved God. We worshiped God. We became godly. Our desire was to follow God's path. And then we started taking this desire. As our life got older, we started saying, you know what? It's okay. You know what? Those guys can live that way. The strong Christian, but I'm going to choose this path, but still love God, but I'm going to have my own ways. Then we go here. Then we come to this point here. Now we've gone off we attend church on Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Then we have children. Okay? Where do our children start? We started here, a heart after God, and then we started choosing our own path, going down the direction of, I still love God, but I'm going to now... I'm just going to start my own way. And that's kind of difficult. So I come in. Then we start having children. Where is the benefit of our children? Was it here? How many times do we hear, yeah, I remember going to church when I was a kid. And then we see generation upon generation upon generation getting further and further away from God. Why? Because we're not choosing this. Then our children start here. Okay? They're starting here. And then if our lives are not influenced by the things of God anymore, where are they? What direction can they go very quickly without the presence of God in this home? If God is no longer a priority in this home, they're already starting here. They don't have the benefit of here. They said, yeah, I remember when my parents went, but yet they don't go anymore, so therefore I go. And then we have generation upon generation upon generation continually falling away from the Lord. Because why? We as Christians aren't staying here. We're allowing sin. Youth group, when you allow sin to come in your lives, when you just allow the things, the influences of your school friends or your friends, the ungodly friends, the council, listen, that is a slippery slope right there. Because every time you get away from God, where is this going? It continues to go away from God. That is our challenge today, to be a godly person for Him. Know that there is two ways, godly way, the wicked way. There is no third way, because that third way is leading what? Away from God.